Well, good morning, Sunridge. How are you guys doing? Really? Really? All right, good. That's good. It's good to know. You're doing good. Hey, if you're just joining us, my name's Britt. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're wrapping up a series we've called Guilt Trip. It's the one trip you want to cancel reservations for, and we're going to be super practical today about that. But I want to start by asking you if you know what this term means, central processing unit. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about with that, okay. Also known as CPU, it is the electronic circuitry for your computer that tells your computer what to do. Now, if you're totally up on computers, I'm gonna prove my ignorance to you. And if you have no idea about computers, I'm gonna sound really smart. So this CPU, it performs all of the functions that it's been told to do. A CPU, some people have called it the brain of your computer, but that's not really accurate because all a CPU does is perform the calculations that your programming has told it to do. So in other words, when your spreadsheet adds up, that's your CPU is just doing what your software told it to do. Or if you're playing Mario Brothers, and Mario one of the guys? He has a tortoise shell in his hand, and he throws it in and blows somebody up. That's the programming. The CPU is just performing what it was told to do. If you want to send a text, it's the programming in your phone that tells your phone to do that. So, you know, these CPUs are everywhere. They're in your computers, your tablets, they're in your smartphones, they're in your video games, they're in your television now. So they're everywhere. And a CPU is a good illustration for what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about the conscience, okay? The conscience provides us with our sense of moral goodness or blameworthiness of our conduct. Your conscience tells you whether to feel guilty or not. It's the thing in your head that says, go, don't go. For old school people, it's Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder, you know, telling you to let your conscience be your guide. Now, unlike a central processing unit, the conscience processing unit, just checking to see if you're still with me here, you can't identify that in your body. It doesn't look like a little chip, but it's there. And depending on how you've programmed your conscience, that's how you decide whether you're going to feel guilty or not about an event or an activity. It's just doing what we programmed it to do. That explains a lot of differences, doesn't it? Because all of us have these different ways of programming our conscience. We have different sources that we're programming it with. So if I just take a week's worth of watching television and the commercials or my Facebook feed, it just gets super confusing about what I should feel guilty about or not. For instance, like on my television and commercials or on Facebook, it tells me that I should feel guilty about where my coffee was grown. It tells me that I should feel guilty about my hair thinning on top of my head. Never mind that it's growing wildly in other places on my body. I should feel guilty about the heartbreak of psoriasis, that I don't have a fitness room with a Peloton in it. And I should feel guilty if I drive an old car. So it's interesting. All these messages that tell me to feel guilt, but then there's a bunch of other messages that tell me not to feel guilty. I should not feel guilty to have gone into debt for the new car that I'm driving, right? Because there's no interest. I don't have to feel guilty about eating a lot of pizza or drinking a lot of beer, but I should feel guilty if my beer's not cold, right? And I no longer have to feel guilty about driving drunk because I have Larry H. Parker there for me and he will fight for me, right? LHP 2.0. I don't drive drunk, by the way. I'm using the whatever that tense or whatever. Never mind. I'm going places I shouldn't. You see, we have vastly different programmers for our conscience. We're running on different operating systems, we're using different software, and there's all these things that program whether we feel guilt or not. We've talked about some of these. We've talked about our family. A lot of that comes forward. We've talked about our culture and its influence on guilt or no guilt. We've talked about our experiences. They can color whether we feel guilt about something today. We've talked about how religion can make us feel guilt or not, and then certainly the evil one, the accuser. These are all different kinds of programmers working on your conscience. The Apostle Paul says toward that end in Acts 24, as he stands before this judge and accused, he should feel guilty for what he's being accused of, for being a rabble-rouser and upsetting their town. And in his defense, what he says, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. So in this simple sentence, as Paul stands before the judge, we learn, first of all, it's possible to have a clear conscience. We learn that guilt or non-guilt in my conscience is connected to both God and man. And then we also learn that it requires striving. Did you see that? I always strive. That is, to have a clear conscience requires effort. There's an intentional processing, an intentional programming of that conscience so that it can remain clear and so that in the end I can reject bad guilt and I can embrace good guilt that's going to take me in a positive direction and make some changes in my life. But it still gets down to how do I know whether or not to feel guilty or not? So, keeping my metaphor going, I want to suggest to you that what we have to do is reprogram our conscience. We have to, with effort and intention, strive to program our conscience so that it processes things correctly. Now, we've talked about good guilt and bad guilt. Today, we're going to talk about really boiling it down, like how we can tell the difference between those two. And, you know, this is, you know, every message I give, I have some big goal in mind. Sometimes I come here, folks, and I just want to inspire you. Sometimes I want to bring comfort. Sometimes I want to challenge you. Sometimes I want to convict you and push you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes I just want to give you practical tips of how you can move forward in your life. And today is going to be super practical because this thing of guilt, it is so prevalent. And so many people, Christian and not, within the Christian community, people are, they're carrying guilt that they should never carry, and then they're not responding to the guilt that they should. So I want to help us process that. I want to help you reprogram your conscience. And so what I can't do is come to each little intersection of everybody's life and give you an answer for that. Because, you know, the opportunities for guilt are unlimited, right? But what I do want to do today is give you three simple questions that I think you can ask yourself about the guilt that you're feeling, and I think it will help you to reprogram your conscience and land in a good place. So you guys ready for that? Okay, so number one, the first question is, why do I feel guilty? Duh. Aren't you glad you came to church today? It's such an amazing, provocative thought. Simple, but you're going to see as we move forward how important this question is. Because before we head down the path of should I feel guilty or not, we really have to identify why we're feeling guilty. We have to ask the question, where is this guilt coming from? Because if we don't, we could end up on a path we don't need to be on. And if we don't, we could not get on the path that we should. Questions related to this, like, did I do something? Did I fail to do something I should? Did I do something that I should not have done? And remember, that ties into like the working definition that we've been using for guilt from Becca Johnson, the Christian psychologist, where she says that guilt is an emotional response to the perception that we have broken a rule or fallen short of a standard. It's like guilt is an emotion. And that emotion is responding to this perception that we have that we did something or that we didn't do something. So can you see all the thoughtful interactions that have to take place just in that understanding of guilt or not guilt? What have I done that has made me responsible? 2 Corinthians 1:12, the Apostle Paul is writing to these believers that he founded a church in their area, and he's the guy that is comforting them and inspiring them and convicting them and nudging them. And when you do that, as a pastor, as a friend, as a fellow human being, there's tension in that. And then part of that tension is to feel guilt one way or the other. And here's what Paul says about that. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationship with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. So Paul says, in this interaction that I've had with you, leading you spiritually, being part of someone who comforts you and inspires you, but also tells you straight up how it is, that my conscience is clear in doing this. We've done the right thing. And then as you read the rest of the verse, you see why he can say this so confidently. He says, we have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. That kind of leads to the second question. There's this idea that I have to ask myself, why am I feeling guilty? And Paul has this confidence in his situation that his conscience is clear. But he says that that is tied to what the source, the programming that he has for this interaction. And that's the second question. The second question is, what does the Bible say about it? Or maybe I could ask it in a more clear way. What does the Bible really say about it? Because it's so easy to just throw out verses upon one another and upon ourselves that we're really not understanding the plain reading of the Bible at that point. But it's an important question to ask. It's the second question. What does the Bible say on this? The Bible gives us values and principles and morals and standards of living that help us program our conscience, and it helps us filter the things that we feel guilt about. The Bible talks to us about how to conduct ourselves in our place of work, how to handle our finances, our own sexuality. The Bible talks about how we're to interact in relation to one another, our family experience. The Bible gives us moral choices. It talks about our roles and how we're to interact in our marriage, husband and wives. It talks to us about our emotions and how to cope with those. The Bible programs our conscience if we allow it. Paul, again, writing to a young pastor in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I referred to this verse in the So What series where we talked about the scripture. And, you know, Paul begins by saying that the scripture is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. But then he says that it's useful. It does four things for us. And these are like equivalents to me of programming terms. First of all, you see that the Bible gives us principles to live by. It teaches us. That is the initial programming of my conscience. I have this thing in me. I can't identify it. It's in my heart or in my head or in my soul, and it sorts out guilt for me. It sorts out my moral decisions. And Paul says the Bible, the inspired word of God, teaches me how to do that. It programs that conscience. But then sometimes that programming gets corrupted, and your CPU can get a virus in it. And so Paul says here that even if it's been programmed and taught, it will rebuke me when I've broken that teaching. When there's some type of malware in my CPU, my conscious processing unit, that is causing me to not be able to decide, the Bible tells me that. You know, you've seen that if you're a Mac user, you have that death spin, that little circle, you know. It's like, don't you feel like that sometimes in your conscience? You're in an intersection where you're trying to decide something. You've programmed your conscience through the scripture, but not, you just seem locked up. There's something broken in the system, and so you can't decide, and it's just spinning
The Bible can help us with that. But not only that, not only does it rebuke us or kind of make us aware that we have malware in our conscience, but it also provides instruction on how to repair that malware. It teaches, it corrects, or it rebukes, and it corrects. It tells us how to repair the breakdown in our conscience. And then lastly, it establishes a protection in our conscience when it does training in righteousness. It keeps us from experiencing that same thing again. It puts like a firewall down. It says, don't let that in again. But it's all based on allowing the Bible to program our conscience. If you've been a Christian for a length of time, can you think of ways that you think differently because you've been a Christian for a while? Where the Bible has changed your thinking? I hope you can. Or maybe you were that one person that should be a Christian, you know, because you're already acting like one. I don't know. But the Bible changes the way we think. We have to allow it to reprogram us from all the stuff that has been put in there previously. Every time you read your Bible, you are updating your software. And you should update your software regularly, as you know. So then, when we do that, if I'm feeling guilt about something that my culture has told me about, or my friends, or my family, or a spouse, or even my pastor, and the Bible doesn't speak on this thing, or it's open about it, or maybe it even affirms a thing that somebody's telling me I should feel guilty about, you can reject that. On the other hand, if you're feeling guilt about something and you can't unload that guilt, and yet the Bible is clear on it, and you just keep going down that dark hole, hello? Allow the Bible to reprogram the way you think about that and accept the truth of the Scripture. If we do this, we live differently. If you're a person of faith and you're allowing the Scripture to program your conscience, you can live with confidence. No matter how much the culture changes, no matter what kind of feedback you're getting from others, no matter what wacky thing your pastor is saying or about to say in this message, you can sort it all out because you have the Word of God. Let me show you. In Romans 9:1, Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. He says, I am totally confident about this thing because my conscience is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit confirms those things that are in our hearts that have been placed there through the Word of God. By the way, the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Bible. You know, there's all kinds of fears about the future, what it's going to be like to be a Christian in the future. I don't know if that's a generational thing or we're in a significant period of time here in this cultural setting, but, you know, we can move forward in our culture with confidence and stand on the Word of God if we allow it to program the way we think. So why am I feeling guilty? And secondly, what does the Bible have to say about it? The third question gets a little more, I'm gonna have to explain a little bit, but I don't wanna overdo it. But the third question is this: are my guilt feelings related to something that is for me personally? So I have, you know, why am I feeling guilty? What does the Bible say? But then there's like this whole other area where we feel guilt or we don't, that's kind of gray. And that's what I'm getting at with this question. Basically, I'm saying this. Sometimes God puts a prohibition on you or me that is unique for us because of our experiences or because of our besetting sins or for many reasons. But sometimes you have a unique prohibition that's on you, that's for you personally, but maybe not for your pastor or maybe not for your friend or maybe not even for your wife or your husband. And sometimes, on the other hand, God nudges us specifically about a calling that he has for us that he doesn't give anybody else. That's what I'm saying when I'm saying that, you know, am I feeling guilt or not about something that God has for me personally? Let me unpack it. First of all, sometimes God gives us a prohibition that's unique to us for our own protection. In Romans 14:2, Paul says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Now, if you don't understand that context, you think that being a vegetarian is a sign of weak faith. But that's not what Paul is saying here. The context here is that you had people who came into the church, in the early church, who had worshiped pagan gods, and part of that worship was to offer the meat that they were going to eat in sacrifice to these false gods. And so as they became Christians and moved into the church, and this, and you know, you have all these Christians from disparate kind of experiences coming together, there were some Christians at the time who were really troubled by whatever meat they would eat, because it could have been offered to an idol. And just not knowing, or actually even knowing would be worse, that it had been offered an idol, it offended their conscience. It was like it just brought them back to that thing. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. And what we'll see is that in that case, God may give those individuals a prohibition that isn't for everybody else. Let me make it really simple. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but some of you used to be smokers. Some of you are still smokers. Whether that's a sin or not, we can debate. You know, in the old Baptist church I was a part of, we used to say smoking won't send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you were already there. But that's like an old Baptist joke. I don't know if that works for you or not. Some of you are like, hey, be quiet, Pastor. But when you quit smoking, it was probably really important for you to not be around other smokers because it just made you crave cigarettes again, right? Some of you, like, music affects you. Like, music transports us, right? So, like, if you hear a certain kind of music because of your past, it can take you right back to like, a painful time or, like, a, you know, like a destructive time. And so you're like, I can't listen to that kind of music. Like Frank Sinatra just makes you want to like drink martinis and smoke cigarettes. I don't know. But it's like there's something about music that can do that to you too. And so you go like, I can't listen to that music. That's what Paul is saying here. And so in that case, you may have a prohibition. You may have an issue that not everybody else shares. And here's his advice, continuing in that passage in verse 3. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. So the person that isn't offended by this meat being offered to idols, maybe he's just over it, maybe they never had that experience, they can't look down on this brother or sister and go, you know, that's so stupid that you would do it. It's like, there are no other gods, that's dumb, you know, like, you know, why are you doing that? Just eat the meat. It's like you can't shove them across that line. Because it may be a prohibition that God has placed to protect them from going down the rabbit hole. On the other hand, the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. So if you have this prohibition, you can't overlay that on everybody. That's what Paul is saying. Because this is an area in which we have freedom. There are no other gods. It doesn't really matter what happened to this meat, whether you offered it to a god or put teriyaki on it. It doesn't matter. It's just meat. But we can't condemn people who do eat the meat, and we can't shove people over that line of conscience either. So that's one prohibition that might... That, be personal to you. The other side of it is a nudge. And by that, I just mean this. Sometimes God kind of gives us a little prodding. It's like, call that person, reach out to them on Facebook, you know, give that guy $2. It's like we feel these nudges. Teach Sunday school, you know, there's all kinds of, like, God can be prompting us about something. But yet he's not prompting everybody, just you. And So when that happens, if I don't respond, don't I feel guilt? Like if I feel like, I should give that guy $3 for a hamburger, and then I don't, sometimes I feel guilty later, like he'll starve to death because I didn't give him a hamburger. That's for me, but it doesn't mean like everybody in the world should be giving a couple of bucks to the person on the, you know, on the exit. That's personally decided. So these are personal decisions that can complicate it for us. So here's the three questions. Let's put them up here. First of all, when I'm trying to process guilt, first question I want to ask is, why do I feel guilty? Second question is, what does the Bible say about that issue? And the third question is this something that God has for me personally? So that's the message. Let me test run a few scenarios for you, and then we'll wrap up, okay? You guys still with me? Raise your hand and wave, okay? All right, that's awesome. You're still awake. Okay, the first issue or thing that we may feel guilt about, I wanna bring out, it's a really simple answer, but it's really charged emotionally. And I'm using it because I think it will help us to understand this, how important these questions are. The first thing you might feel guilty about is you were abused as a child. And somehow you feel guilty because you think that you're responsible for that. Now, I know in a room like this, and I know some stories here, this is out there. People face this. And I also know that people that have experienced child abuse feel guilt about it. So let's ask the first question. Why am I feeling guilty? I think that this issue is solved by that very first question. You're not responsible for what happened to you. You were a child. Children are supposed to be protected by adults. And so you are not guilty, you are the victim. Question one, why do I feel guilty? And I know that their emotions have to follow that, but the fact of the matter is you didn't do anything. You're not responsible. So you're feeling guilty about something that was done to you. That's false guilt. Let me run another scenario through. Your spouse is having an affair. So, and you feel guilty. Somehow you're picking it. It's your fault that your spouse is having an affair. Maybe you didn't make the meatloaf right. Or, maybe you have all these regrets about, I should have done this, I should have done that, I could have been a better husband or a better wife, I could have been more responsive in the intimate relationship. There's all these things. But in the end, what are you feeling guilty for? You're feeling guilty because a person who made a vow to you broke that vow. Now, anytime that there's trouble in a relationship, there's always two involved, but like on this issue, you're feeling guilty because somebody broke their word to you. You are not responsible. What are you feeling guilty about? This person made a choice, and you cannot make somebody make a choice. Third question. So again, do you see how important question one is in processing guilt? Okay, here's one that goes a little deeper, okay? You're having an affair. Ooh. Right? It gets worse, trust me. Or maybe you're involved in an intimate relationship with someone that is not your husband or wife. So why am I feeling guilty? I'm breaking the law of God? Second question, what does the Bible say about it? Well, the Bible says that the intimate relationship is for pleasure and procreation within the marriage relationship of a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says about it, that when we leave, Jesus said when two people get married, they leave their family environment and they cleave to one another. And anything outside of that is a sin. So you're feeling guilty because you're breaking a principle, a programming that the Bible has given you. And you'll continue to feel guilty if the Holy Spirit is in you. So question two, that one got the question two. Here's another one. You can't pay your bills and you feel guilty about it. Every time the bill person shows up or, you know, you get those phone, the phone rings, you're just freaking out. So I feel guilty because I can't pay my bills. That's why I feel guilty. Why do I feel guilty? What does the Bible say about it? Well, the Bible says a lot about it. The Bible says that we're to pay our bills, right? We're to be responsible and a good testimony. But the Bible also recognizes that tragedy comes. Job, calamity comes. Financial crisis comes. People get sick. You know, a tornado hits you. You know, you become disabled. There's all these things that can happen to you. So what does the Bible say about your situation? Are you not paying your bills because something happened? You went through a divorce or whatever. Or I think we should also consider, am I not able to pay my bills because for years I haven't followed biblical principles in stewardship? I've gone into debt, I bought things I don't need that I really couldn't afford, and even when I felt guilty about that, I keep doing it, and now I got all this debt, and that's why I can't pay my bills. That question I can't answer for you, but the Bible can help you with that. And then the Bible can help us change those behaviors if they need to be changed. Or the Bible can bring you comfort to know that as a brother and sister in Christ, you are part of the family of God and we can care for one another. And that it isn't your fault that you landed where you landed. So you can see how the Bible can take us in two directions, but we really have to ask honest questions about ourselves. So just one more super controversial, okay? So I just want to lay it out there. It's going to be controversial. I didn't like prime people for this on the front end. Now you're paying attention. And so I'm glad we record in the second service so I can set this up so I don't just like knock you out of your seat, okay? Sometimes you feel guilty because you had a glass of wine. Or you think other people should feel guilty because they had a glass of wine. It can cut both ways. So why do you feel guilty, or why do you think others should feel guilty? Well, they drank wine. Or I drank wine and I feel guilty about it. So, or someone's trying to make me feel guilty about it. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says a lot about drinking wine, doesn't it? If you're familiar with your Bible, you know the Bible gives all kinds of warnings about alcoholic beverages. Let's be straight, you know, about getting drunk, about how it can take control of you, how it can bring you down and make you do stupid stuff. And you know, really, you never needed the Bible to tell you that. You just knew that. But the Bible also refers to wine as being joy. And Jesus made wine. And the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, when your stomach bothers you, take a glass of wine. So, the Bible gives, like, caution about the use of wine, but it does not prohibit it. And so now we're left kind of with our own experience. That's number three. This goes to question three. What has been my experience with wine? You know, that can be, that affects how we, whether or not we feel guilt or whether we think others should feel guilt about it. Because if I have alcoholism in my family, if I've been an alcoholic or I have trouble with it, then maybe I should kind of lean toward, not maybe, I should be very cautious. Maybe in your personal spirit, in your conscience, you're like, I don't drink at all. I don't even take NyQuil. You know, that's Christian drinking right there. Little NyQuil cocktail together at night, little candlelight. So maybe you should take caution around alcoholic beverages. Maybe you haven't, and you should have. But that may be your personal experience, because the Bible does not prohibit the drinking of wine. It provides caution with it. And I told you that would be controversial, right? Because I know some of you are like, inside you're like, no, there's no alcohol in the Bible. There is. And some of you are like, whoo, there's alcohol in the Bible. Get crunk tonight. Pastor Britt said it's good. And that's, neither message is right. Why do I feel guilty? What does the Bible say? And what does God have for me personally? I hope that that helps you, because what we tend to do is we tend to like stuff down the good guilt. God is nudging us, or we're intersecting scripture, and we're like, man, you know, like I really like this thing, or it's like I want to continue this behavior, or like this is more comfortable. And yet it's clear the Bible says that's a lie. And so we just stuff that down. And then on the other hand, we absorb all this guilt that the Bible never says we should take on. We have all these rules and, you know, we make up stuff. Really, in legalism, we just make up rules so that we feel better about our other guilt. It kind of like numbs us to the things that we really should be talking about. In the end, God wants us, He imposes conviction on us. If we're people of faith, God wants us to experience the discomfort of being outside of His will. Not because He's a killjoy, but because He's made us the way He's designed human beings. And He knows the boundaries. And he doesn't want us to be destroyed by those things that sometimes even our culture's telling us that's okay. And yet when we do break God's law, there's this thing that happens with Christians where we just carry too much of it. We keep, you know, like Jesus said that He came to seek and save lost people. John wrote that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and all unrighteousness. He washes us clean. And when I feel that sense of guilt, and it's real guilt and it's good guilt, I go to Jesus and I accept the gift of forgiveness. I accept His grace. I realize that my relationship with God is not based on today's performance, not this little snapshot, that God's grace is bigger than anything that I can do. And so I just receive His grace. And I move on. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 5:1, he says, you are free. Through Christ you've been set free. It's like you were in prison, now you're free. You're free from the past of your sin, you're free from the guilt of your sin, but you're also free to move forward, to not put yourself back in captivity to these destructive behaviors. You're free to move on. So confess it and bring it to God and just move on and learn from it. And then reject all the stuff that doesn't make any sense. Use these three questions. Super practical. Let's pray.